holy Srimad Bhagavatam class. Remember this principle, that the parampara system, it is faith. And we are nurturing that faith all the time together in Sankirtan. All right, thank you very much. And who was supposed to give class today? You. Oh, I apologize to you.
No, I wanted
it. Hare Krishna. So let me just give you a little background before we chant today. I want to give you some history before we have Srimad Bhagavatam class. You know, Srila Prabhupada, he did everything on the order of his Gurudev. Nothing was whimsical. And until the very end, he was faithful to the mission of his Gurudev. In other words, he was acting on the order of his Gurudev all the time. Never did he get bored with that. You can imagine how difficult it is to preach Krishna consciousness to people who have no contact with Krishna consciousness. But so patiently, spoon-feeding Krishna consciousness he did. Over and over and over again. And never he became bored that we have to take it up a notch. Because he was following the orders of his Gurudev. In other words, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he said that he wanted Srila Prabhupada to present Krishna consciousness in the English language. But Srila Prabhupada, as a great Vaishnava, he went beyond that. It wasn't that he just translated some books and put them out there to say, well, yes, I did it. Now I'll go back to Vrindavan and chant and bliss out in Krishna consciousness. No. He took that order to heart. And what it means to teach Krishna consciousness in the English language is to make Vaishnavas, to transform society, to transform you and I. This is what he did. And he never, ever became bored with it. I want you to understand what that means. Srila Prabhupada once, we were on a morning walk, and he said to me, he said, we are simply living on the promise of Krishna. We are simply living on the promise of Krishna. And he quoted that shloka from Bhagavad Gita, one or two verses after the Sarvadharman verse in 18th chapter, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, where it says, those who will teach the science of surrender to the bhaktas are the most dear to me in this world. There will never be any more dear to me. In other words, we are trying to become dear to Krishna. This is our whole goal in life, is not to get some fame for ourselves, is not to get some material wealth for ourselves, but we want to become dear to Krishna. This Srila Prabhupada showing by his own personal example, up to the last breath, showing by his own personal example. So my first request is, never become bored in Krishna consciousness. If you have to say aham brahmasmi to someone another 20,000 times, never become bored doing that. Because you are teaching them what Srila Prabhupada wants you to teach them. That they have a spiritual treasure that they have to capture in this human form of life. That's the first thing. Second thing, I want to just talk about Srimad Bhagavatam and how it came about before we discuss today the important shloka. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam, when Srila Prabhupada translated in India and in Vrindavan, he took the books to Delhi and he got the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam printed. And he had some copies of that. And he brought some of those copies with him to the West. And that's all there was. That, and I think he had I'm not even sure he had Bhagavad Gita translated, but that was lost with a trunk that was stolen. But the point is that's all he came with. So now you see so many books are there, but they didn't come about like overnight. They came about by tremendous determination and dedication of Srila Prabhupada. So I'll tell you how these books were translated. When I was his secretary, I know from personal experience. So Srila Prabhupada would wake up between 12:30 and 1:30 every morning. And I would hear him on the dictaphone translating. Because, you know, at that time there was no computer. We had typewriter. We had dictaphone. I think there were tapes. There was certainly no CD. So the dictaphone was used because the translations would go on for hours. And then the secretary or Pradyumna, whoever was doing it, would type up those words that he spoke later in the morning, and then they would go back to Srila Prabhupada if they had any questions about if they couldn't understand something or this or that, to make it clear. And then that typed translation would go to the BBT, and then they would edit and it would be published. So when we were very, very young in Krishna consciousness, in like the 1970, 1971, we would get these little excerpts, portions of the Srimad Bhagavatam. They would come out, for example, like a little paperback, The Lord in the Heart. This was a portion of the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And like this, we got little portions of it. And we were like, really, we were like bees around a honey jar. And that honey jar had been opened. And the devotees were diving into that honey jar all the time. When these books would come out one by one, we would study them and read them and discuss them. The devotees were so enthusiastic to learn. The same thing happened when the Chaitanya Charitamrita was coming out. One book would come out and we would read it. Then another book would come out, we would read it. Now you see the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is translated. But this is only because of Srila Prabhupada's determination to carry out the order of his Gurudev. No other reason. There was one devotee, I think his name was Ray Ram, I'm not sure. It might have been another person. But Srila Prabhupada, and you're back from the airport. So Srila Prabhupada had translated the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And this young man, he came up to Srila Prabhupada, and he was, you know, his mind was disturbed. And he said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go become a journalist. I want to write. Srila Prabhupada said, don't leave. You want to be a journalist, you can put your name that you wrote this book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's really a true story. You can imagine Srila Prabhupada's heart from something like this. Srila Prabhupada not looking for fame for himself. He's looking to give us Krishna consciousness. So in this way, try to understand the history of how all of this came about. It is very, very sweet. It is very wonderful. And it really, it shows the dedication of a disciple to his guru. So you understand how all of Krishna consciousness, especially in the Western world, came about. In India, same thing happened. Same thing, little by little, like that. So by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we'll have a class today. And we chant Jai Radha Madhava, yeah? Okay. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janna Balava Girvardhari. Gopi Janna Balava Girvardhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Om Vishwapada Paramahansa Paribhraja Kacharya Sattva Shatta Shishi Maharaj Vangas. Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jaya Om Vishwapada Paramahansa Paribhraja Kacharya. Asatarasata Shri Shri Maharaj Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Srila Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki, Gamsa Koshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Adoita Girara Shri Basari Gaura Bhakti Vrindi Ki, Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinasyam Kundaradha Kundagiri Govardhan Ki, Tulsi Maharana Ki, Sankirtan Yajna Ki, Los Angeles Yachar Ki, Gaura Premanandi, all glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled pure devotees. Hare Krishna. So I want to thank one of the bhaktas came up and gave me this copy of Srimad Bhagavatam earlier today, so I had a chance to catch up. So I read up to this point in the chapter and just before. So I am up to speed a little bit. So first thing, once I was chanting this Om Namo, you know, so I said, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Srila Prabhupada said, what is this? It is not Bhagavate, it is Bhagavate. You know the difference? Bhagavate, Bhagavate. In Sanskrit, Bhagavan means God. Bhagavate means God. Bhagavate means the devotee of the Lord, who is descended from Bhagavan, you see? So Srila Prabhupada corrected me. So always say, Om Namo Bhagavate rather than Bhagavate. Okay? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tan Anaya Dvam Asato Vimukan Mukunda Pada Ravinda Maka Randa Rasad Ajasram Nishkinchanai Paramahansa Kulair Asangair Jushtad Grihe Niraya Vartmani Badha Drishnan Tan anayadvam asato vimukan mukunda. Tan anayadvam asato vimukan mukunda. Padaravinda makaranda rasad ajasram. Nishkinchanai Paramahansa Kulair Asangair Jushtad Grihe Niraya Vartmani Bada Trishnan. Anybody? Tana nayadvam masato vimukan mukunda. Padaravinda makaranda rasarajasram. Nishkinchanai paramahansa kulai rasangair. Jushtad grihe niraya vartmani bada drishnan. Taranayadvam asato vimukan mukunda. Padaravinda makaranda rasarajasram. Nishkinchanar Paramahansa Kulara Sangar. Jushtad grihe niraya vartmane bada drishnan. Taranaya dvam asato vimukan mukunda. Padaravinda makaranda rasarajasram. Nishkinchanar paramahansa kulara sangar. Jushtad grihe niraya vartmani bada drishnan. Anybody else? Okay, we'll go word by word, okay? Tan, them, anayadvam, bring before me, asata, non-devotees, those who have not taken to Krishna consciousness. So sat means eternal or truth, yeah? And asat, those who are untrue, those who are not devotees. Vimukhan, who have turned against me. No, who have turned against. That prefix V always means something bad. Like mukhan, the face, you know, turned away from me. Like that. Mukunda, of Mukunda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here, Yamaraj is using this word because Mukunda gives liberation. And this is about Ajamil getting his liberation, is it not? Pada Aravinda. Pada means lotus feet. Aravinda, lotus. Pada Aravinda, of the lotus feet. Makaranda, of the honey. Rasat, the taste. Ajasram, continuously. Nishkinchanair, persons free from material attachment. Paramahansa, Kulai, by the Paramahansas, the most exalted personalities. Asangai, who have no material attachment. Justad, which is enjoyed. Grihe, in household life. Niraya, Vartmani, leading to hell. The path leading to hell. Bada, Trishnan, whose desires are bound. Translation. Paramahansas are exalted persons who have no taste for material enjoyment and who drink the honey of the Lord's lotus feet. My dear servants, bring to me for punishment only persons who are averse to the taste of that honey, who do not associate with Paramahansas, and who are attached to family life and worldly enjoyment, which form the path to hell. Purport. After warning the Yamadutas not to approach the devotees, Yamaraj indicates who is to be brought before him. He specifically advises the Yamadutas to bring him the materialistic persons who are attached to household life merely for sex. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yan Maitunadi Grihamedi Sukham Hituchcham. People who are attached to household life for sex only. They are always harassed in many ways by their material engagements. And their only happiness is that after working very hard all day, at night, they sleep and indulge in sex. Nidraya hriyate naktam vyavayena chavavaya. At night, materialistic householders sleep or indulge in sex life. Diva karte haya Rajan Kutumba Baranenava. During the day, they are busy trying to find out where money is. And if they get money, they spend it to maintain their families. Yamaraj specifically advises his servants to bring these persons to him for punishment and not to bring the devotees, who always lick the honey at the lotus feet of the Lord, who are equal to everyone and who try to preach Krishna consciousness because of sympathy for all living entities. Devotees are not liable to punishment by Yamaraj, but persons who have no information of Krishna consciousness cannot be protected by their material life of so-called family enjoyment. Srimad Bhagavatam says, second canto, first chapter, shloka 4. Deha patya kalatradishu atma shanyeshu asachvapi tesham pramato nidanam pashyanapi napashyati. Such persons complacently believe that their nations, communities, or families can protect them, unaware that all such fallible soldiers will be destroyed in due course of time. In conclusion, one should try to associate with persons who engage in devotional service 24 hours a day. That's you. Paramahansas are exalted persons who have no taste for material enjoyment and who drink the honey of the Lord's lotus feet. My dear servants, bring to me for punishment only persons who are adverse to the taste of that honey, who do not associate with Paramahansas, and who are attached to family life and worldly enjoyment, which form the path to hell. So several things in this verse I want to highlight. First of all, this idea of associating with Paramahansas. We associate with Paramahansas through the parampara. You know, sometimes people, some of the people who have created this idea of rikvit, you know, that, oh, Srila Prabhupada is not here, therefore no one can be a teacher of Krishna consciousness for me. You see, this is one way to avoid associating with devotees. It is very important to associate with devotees. So we associate with devotees through the parampara system. In other words, what you have heard, is that good? What you have heard about Krishna from authorities and from the Shastra, you can speak that. That's clean. That's pure. And if you do that, then you are associating through the parampara system with guru, with Shastra, with sadhu. This is the system. Not everyone is going to be a great personality like Srila Prabhupada. You know, when you look at the history of Krishna consciousness and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction that Krishna consciousness would be spread to every town and village throughout the world, and we see practically that Srila Prabhupada was the person to do it. He was personally empowered. Some of his godbrothers have called him Shaktivesh Avatar of Nityananda Prabhu. That's a very high qualification that he had. So we cannot expect people to be like that. We cannot expect our godbrothers to be like that. But what we do expect is that they will transmit cleanly what they have heard through the parampara system. That is the great responsibility that we have as being disciples of Srila Prabhupada or disciples of Srila Prabhupada. You have to keep clean what you have learned. Otherwise, the rug will be pulled out from underneath. You see? So it's very, very important. So associating with Paramahansa is very, very important. Associating with pure devotees is very important. So much so that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a shloka there. It says that if you go to the places of pilgrimage only to take bath and to see the sights of the place of pilgrimage, then Shukadeva Goswami condemns you as being no better than an ass. Actually, he says no better than a cow or an ass. But I don't like to use cow or ass because cows are so nice and dear to Krishna. But no better than an ass. If you simply go to take a bath in a place of pilgrimage and to see the temples, and but not to associate with the Vaishnavas who you can discuss Krishna consciousness about, no better than an ass. How is that? That is how high association with devotees is respected and how important it is. The whole Sankirtan movement is based on this principle of association. You know, you can chant by yourself. You can go somewhere and chant by yourself. Maha Mantra. You can even read by yourself. You see? But to have the association of devotees, that is like supercharged. That is Sankirtan. San means with, together. Sankirtan means together. And Srila Prabhupada, he explained this principle very nicely. He said, you know, if you take one stick, you can easily break it, snap it. But if you bind up a whole bunch of sticks that you could break individually, you bind them up together, you cannot break it. This is Sankirtan. So Sankirtan means association with devotees. Sankirtan means glorification of Krishna together. Because there may be a time when you feel weak or when I feel weak and I need your strength and you can give me that strength, or I can give you that strength. This is Sankirtan. You do together. You see, nobody left behind. Like the Marines, nobody left behind. Everybody going to the end, to the goal line together. You see? So this is the importance of association with devotees. And never underestimate the power of that association. It gives you so much strength. Now, another thing I want to make point in this context of Ajamil Lila is this. Is that Ajamil, you know, he was a fallen Brahmin, and he had so many sinful activities during his life. But he's always chanting the name Narayan, because he named his son Narayan. And then at the time of his departure from the body, he calling for his son Narayan. But Lord Vishnu not hearing Narayan, his son, he's hearing his name being called, you see, because his name is all transcendental. Now, two things I want to say about this. First thing is the time of death. The time of death is every instant. Dehinosmin yata dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dehantara praptir diras tatra namuyati. You know this verse from Bhagavad Gita. Just like you change your clothes, one pair of clothes one day, another pair of clothes next day. So Krishna says, because he's teaching us, Krishna knows that our senses are not so fine that we can see instantaneously, instant to instant, how the jiva soul is transmigrating. But he says, jovanam, komaram jovanam jara. Komaram means up to about the age of 5, young child. Jovanam means from 5 till about 16 years old. And jara means old age. And after you're 16 years old, you're considered old age. So this is the reality, is that just like you're, once we're in a small body, we all were, less than 5 years old, and you're the same person now, and then you were a teenager, young child, between 5 and 16, and then older now, and then now I'm 61 years old, my physical body. And hard to believe. I mean, I joined Krishna Consciousness Movement when I was 20 years old. It's hard to believe how things change like that. But I'm the same individual soul. I know that. I experience that. You see? If someone says, well, I'm different, your mind may be different. Your environment may be different. But you're the same person. You haven't changed at all. Dhiras tatra namuyati. Dhira means sober. People who are sober, who are not drunk with material engagement, they can see this, they can experience it, they feel it, they know it. Namuyate means they are not bewildered by this. So what is happening here in this realm is that the jiva soul, who is eternal, mamayavangso jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, the jiva soul is eternal. That's you, that's me. We are eternal spirit souls. We are transmigrating in this world. And so, in that sense, birth and death are taking place at every instant. At every instant, something is coming into being and going out of being in the physical material world. Just like things are entering your mind and they're going out of your mind, and the physical body is constantly changing. You know, we shouldn't be illusioned to think that we are this body. If we have such a poor sense of identity, then we would think, I am drinking some water, and that water going out when I sweat, when I urinate, or when I evacuate, am I going down the toilet? No. When I breathe air in and I breathe air out, is that me? No. You know, the Sankhya Yoga philosophy is like this. I am not this, I am not this, I am not this. Yeah, analyzing what is really taking place in a very sober way. And then you arrive at the conclusion that I am not this body, I am spirit. You see? So we can understand these things if we are not confused and bewildered, really if we're not intoxicated by material sense enjoyment. Then you can actually experience it and see it. And it is one of the great strengths that Krishna and Srila Prabhupada have given us, is to understand our identity. Really, I can remember, even though I was like a kind of a 1960s seeker, you know, trying to find truth, this and that, when I heard that I am not this body, that I am individual spirit soul, I thought, yeah, that really makes sense. You know, when you're a Mayavadi and you're trying to merge into everything, and but you're not merging into anything, and you're finding yourself, you know, stuck at the dead end of that street. When you finally hear that you are eternal, individual spirit soul, you can say, yes, now I understand, now I get it. And if you can understand that you are an individual spirit soul, it's not so hard to understand that God is at least as much as you, at least individual, and more, you see? And more. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. So in this way, the time of death is every instant. And what is taking place at the time of death is another instant in time. You see, you will not disappear at the time of death. Just like you are not disappearing from moment to moment to moment. You still exist. You see? So, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. The human activities of cultured people, you could say. Dharma means religiosity, or, you know, kind of not being an animal, following some rules and regulations, some morality. Artha means acquiring gain or wealth. Kama is regulated sense gratification, not like animal. And moksha means liberation. Moksha also is one of the four material activities. Why is that? Because the jiva soul is already eternal. The jiva soul is simply confused, you understand? So people who follow the materialistic path toward liberation, generally speaking, they're impersonalists. They're frustrated with material life. You know, I'm not getting what I want. You know, I'm frustrated. And therefore, the sense of individual enjoyment still is there. And so there's no place to go but to think, I am God, I am the center, I can merge with God, I can become one, this and that. This sense of moksha is not acceptable to the Vaishnava transcendentalists. It is an inferior conception of liberation. You see? It is not something that's desirable at all. So for the Vaishnava, who is cognizant of their eternality, of their identity, then Brahmabhuta Prasanatma. Brahmabhuta means, okay, I have arrived at this conception, at this understanding, realization more or less, okay? Brahmabhuta Prasanatma. I can be satisfied in myself. I don't have to chase after these flickering things in the world because I know that they're external. Brahmabhuta Prasanatma na sochate na kankshate. And there is nothing to lament for and nothing to be ecstatic for in this world. This is a temporary place, not an eternal condition. Na sochate na kankshate, no hankering, no lamentation. Sama sarveshu bhuteshu, and I am not like anybody else, different. I am same, so therefore every living being, like me, is eternal. I can see them eternal. Not only human beings, but animals and insects and fish and birds and trees and other creatures. All spirit soul. You know, when Gajendra, the elephant, we were listening to... where's Amala Bhakta, by the way? Where is he now? Is he here? I was listening to his tapes. I like Amala Bhakta's tapes. He plays the music and then he talks. And in different voices. He's talking like demon. He's talking like Krishna. He's very, very sweet. I like Amala Bhakta very much, his service. Anyway, we're listening to the chapter on Gajendra and other things and the Korma. So Gajendra, you know, he finally gets brought back to the spiritual world. He didn't go in an elephant's body. He received a body like Lord Vishnu. Sarupya, he had a four-handed form, bluish, golden, transcendental garments to serve Krishna, Lord Vishnu, in that form. He's not going as elephant. All living creatures, they have a form that is suitable for their spiritual service in the spiritual world, like this. So, samasarveshu bhuteshu, all living beings are equal, you see? This is the basis really for compassion, that our condition is not much different than others' condition. And mad bhaktim labhate param, now bhakti coming. Bhakti is for the liberated souls. Bhakti is not material at all. Bhakti, devotional service, is fully spiritual because you are connected with Krishna. Because you are connected with Krishna, it is not at all a material activity. Even you may not appreciate it as spiritual. Krishna appreciates it as spiritual, and this is the whole Leela of Ajamil. He's taking, Ajamil's taking Narayan's name. He doesn't think I'm chanting Narayan four-handed form to come save me. He's chanting his son's name. But Narayan is seeing, oh, he's chanting my name. I cannot ignore him. He is my son, you see? This is the beauty of Krishna. Krishna sees our service, despite the fact that it may be mixed up with all of our frailties, all of our contamination. You see, this is the importance of devotional service. This is the importance of the holy name. The holy name is the means, the end, both in Krishna consciousness. You know, someone will think, oh, I have to become pure so that I can chant the holy name. No way. Not possible even. You will not become pure unless you associate with the Supreme Pure. You see? Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavam. Arjuna, he sees Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra in his beautiful two-handed form, and he says, now, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, you are the Supreme Brahman. And you are Pavitram Paramam. You are the Supreme Pure. In other words, we become purified by associating with Krishna. No other way. No other way. Chanting the holy name is the means and it is the end both. You don't have to become qualified in any way to chant the holy name to become purified. You just take to it. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's given you the formula for kind of the mood, the mentality that you should cultivate in this process. He says, Trinadapi sunichena, tarodapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. He said, you should not feel yourself proud in this world, but you should feel yourself very humble. Like a blade of grass in the street. He cultivate this mentality. You know, in the material world, people are always being patted on the back if they are very independent. Is it not? This person is very strong, very independent. But that's not spiritual life. That's false ego. What is glorified in spiritual life, just like Christ said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. To become meek and humble is the most beautiful of qualities. When Christ was asked, what is the most important thing to be? He said, you should become humble like a child. Child is dependent on the mother, is it not? To become humble and dependent is to be a bhakta. In fact, the word bhakta literally means to be maintained by God. That is what bhakta is. Bhakta means to be maintained by God. I just, you know, I'm a surgeon. I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I just operated on one rabbi, a young guy in Santa Cruz. I operated on him in Silicon Valley last week. And he's a very humble man in the sense that, you know, he wasn't afraid to express his frailties, his fears, his anxieties. And he was a very neurotic guy, I must tell you. But he was very honest. And I was thinking of the Old Testament of Psalms. If you ever read Psalms, the Old Testament, and you read some of those prayers, you'll see that, you know, these are kings who are writing these prayers. My dear Lord, please give me your protection. Please, you defeat my enemies. You know, goes on like this. Because they're powerful, but they can't, they don't feel like they can do anything. It is a sense of humility that comes through that makes those prayers read even so many thousands of years later. You understand? If someone said, I am very powerful, I can defeat them, I can kill them, I can do this without anyone's help, who would read that? But thousands of years later, people are still reading these prayers because a powerful man is saying, I'm helpless. I need your help. Who is Acharya Narottam? Acharya Narottam. You know Narottam Das Thakur's prayers. How beautiful they are. And how they're always saying, I am the most fallen. You please accept me, therefore, since you are Patita Pavana, as the first to save, as the first to take back to Godhead. This feeling of the Acharyas, even though they are very great and very powerful in their spiritual wisdom, they're feeling like that. I remember Srila Prabhupada in, I think it was like 1975, in Mayapur, he was sitting on the asana, and he was feeling so deep feeling of separation. And he said, you young boys and girls, you have chance still. You have opportunity to become Krishna consciousness. For me, I am an old man and the time has passed. It is too late for me. Srila Prabhupada feeling like that. Not proud, but feeling separation from Krishna. Deep feelings that I can't live without Krishna. I must have Krishna. Not that, oh yes, I have Krishna. I shall dole him out here, dole him out there, but not you, not you. No. He's feeling so, so weak and humble, needing Krishna. See, this is the Acharya. Teaching by example because he really is living it. It is not an act. So these feelings of humility, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you should cultivate. And Chudadapi Sunichena. Sunichena, Taror. Taror means tree. Taroripi Sahishnuna. And you have to be very tolerant. The tolerance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, is extremely important. At every level, you have to be tolerant. Because if we react all the time to the material world, then that's all we'll be doing is reacting. Action, reaction. We'll just be suffering from karma. You can't react to this material world. And that means even at the subtle level, to your senses, you can't react to them. To the things that enter your mind, you can't chase them. You understand? You all have experience when you're chanting japa, especially japa, because it's a very private thing. And you're chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Nam Nam, Hare Hare. And things are popping into your mind. Where the heck are they coming from? And you have no control over them. And they'll go out of your mind also if you'll simply let them go out of your mind. If you grab hold of it, and you chase it, if you don't tolerate it, then you become a victim. You understand? Do you understand that? This is real meditation. When you're meditating, you're learning tolerance. Of course, your prime goal is to attach to the holy name. That's your prime goal. Your prime goal isn't to become a mystic yogi, you know, where I can, you know, tolerate all these things. No, your prime goal is to develop love for the holy name. But in the process of that, being conditioned souls that we are, things are popping into our mind. Don't chase them. You see, this is what sense control is. Sense control doesn't mean that you really have control of your senses. After all, Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevanam, the controller of your senses is Rishikesha, Krishna, not you. You don't have control of your senses. Neither are you the proprietor of your senses. You see? You have to tolerate the things that are pulling you away, but you draw yourself back to those things that are connecting you with Krishna. By your senses, you are connecting with Krishna. You see? This is bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga doesn't mean you know, meditation on nothing. Bhakti yoga means utilizing what you have in your hand. What you have in your hand are your senses, which are covered now. You see? But they become purified by speaking and chanting Krishna, by hearing about Krishna, by smelling the beautiful flowers that have been offered to Krishna, and that nice scent that they put on your wrist, all these things in relationship to Krishna, by using your hands, your body to serve Krishna, even sex life. You can have children for Krishna if you're so determined to do that. This is all utilizing your senses for Krishna's service. You understand? Is not meditating on void. This is Krishna consciousness. This is devotional service. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the sacrifice, the sacrificer, the thing being sacrificed, everything merges into transcendence. In other words, there is nothing but Krishna, really. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. But how your consciousness will perceive that and realize that will be due to your surrendering process, your engagement in devotional service. Ye yatam amprapadyante tangstataiva bhajamiam. You see? As you surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will give you more and more realization of that connection. You see? So it's a very, very beautiful process. So Ajamil, he is dying, but we are dying also at every instant. One day we will have to leave this body for good. We don't really think of that as death, because there's no death for the soul, you see. Neither should we be fearful of death. It is maybe a stimulus to action. If I know I only have so much time, I better get my act together. But if you knew that you were going to live 100,000 years, like say you were an inhabitant of the Satya Yuga, what would you do? Would you live 999,999 days till the last minute to become Krishna conscious? No, because it's misery. You see, Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure. It's pleasure on a different level. For you who are younger, I can tell you this, that the urges of the physical body and the mind, they go down over time. Us older men and women, we know that. You see? When you're very young, you know, you're, you know, hormones going, everything pushing. But really, it will quiet down. I can tell you that. But even if you're young and you sacrifice those years for Krishna, how much greater is Krishna appreciative? You see? How much greater is Krishna appreciative? I have nothing to offer Krishna, and I say, oh, Krishna, I have nothing to offer you, but you please accept me. Okay. But if you have something to offer, you say, Krishna, I am sacrificing myself. I am sacrificing my potential for material enjoyment for you. How much greater that is, you see? Srila Prabhupada used to praise the Westerners all the time like that. He used to say, you young boys and girls, you grew up in a country where there's so much facility for sense enjoyment, and you are giving the best years of your life to Krishna. He was so appreciative of that. Do you understand? Do you understand that? It's like if you ever have children and you see them sacrificing for a higher goal, you're very happy. That's a good thing to see. You see, Srila Prabhupada wants to see that sacrifice for Krishna. Actually, in the beginning, it is like sacrifice. But really, in the end, it is the sweetness and the nectar that is there in Krishna consciousness. You know, the joy that you can get out of this material world is compared to like chapala sukha, just like a flickering happiness. It doesn't last. And not only that, it is painful in the end, because you're left with so much karma. We all have some experience of that. But Krishna consciousness is so sweet that it is the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tries to explain anandam vudivardhanam. It is like an ocean of ecstasy, of bliss. And not only that, you're not going to get dunked into that ocean of ecstasy and then it's kind of like, oh, I've experienced that, let me go on to something else. No. It is vardhanam. It is ever increasing. You think you know what it is? You go into that ocean of bliss, and Krishna, with his transcendental loving ecstasy, you will experience, and you will never get enough of it. You will never be able to drink enough of that. The cowherd boys, when they're with Krishna, walking through the forest of Vrindavan, and they're drinking in the beauty that is Krishna, because Krishna is Bhagavan, he is the reservoir of all beauty. They're drinking in the beauty of Krishna. And Krishna passes behind a tree. And the cowherd boys are thinking, like a billion years have gone by, I haven't seen Krishna. They're feeling like that. A billion years have gone by as Krishna passes behind a tree, I cannot see him. And then he comes out from behind the tree and, oh, Krishna, again. You see? You can imagine the gopis, how crazy they became, because they are the greatest lovers of Krishna. And Krishna goes away to Mathura. And he never came back to Vrindavan. He said, I'll be back, don't worry. But he never came back. You know why he never came back? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revealed that in front of the Jagannath cart. And he quoted one verse. He said, I did not want that the devotees in Vrindavan should be disturbed by the demons. All these demons are coming, like Agasur, swallowing up the cowherd boys, and so many other demons. The demons weren't coming to kill the cowherd boys. The demons were coming to kill Krishna. Krishna could not tolerate seeing his devotees being tortured like that by the demons. So he went off out of Vrindavan to preserve the peace of the devotees. And he went about his business of killing demons outside of Vrindavan, taking care of things like Jarasandha and in Mathura, like that. This is why Krishna never came back physically, although he's always with them. He's always with them. And because he's not there, are they forgetting Krishna? No. They become crazy mad about Krishna. A bee comes around and is buzzing around, and Radharani is thinking, oh, giving me messages about Krishna. They become crazy mad about Krishna. It's Krishna Leela. This is what's going on. So we talked about, first of all, associating with devotees, how important it is, how it gives us strength. And don't think that you have to always physically associate with someone of the stature of Prabhupada. It's not possible. He's Shaktivesh Avatar. But we have Prabhupada here. He gave us himself. You see? I remember one day, you know, as being a little close physically with Srila Prabhupada, I was cutting his hair in New Vrindavan. And so I'm cutting his hair, and his hair is, you know, is gray and black hair sitting there. And someone said to me, aren't you going to keep it? And I said in front of Srila Prabhupada and him, I said, I don't need his hair. I have his books. What do I want from Srila Prabhupada? Of course, Srila Prabhupada didn't even smile. He just kind of looks, and he's very grave. But this is really what we have, even now, so many years later. What will I do with hair? I have his books. I have Prabhupada's heart right here, you see? Associating with devotees is so vital. And it may not be perfect all the time, but if you associate with devotees, you will get strength. When you hear, when you chant, when you remember, you will get strength. I also am hearing. Sometimes when I was in South Africa preaching Krishna consciousness, at first it was pretty quiet. And you know, sometimes you would preach and you know, there was no one around. And I remember going back to London, I had to renew my visa every few months during that crazy apartheid time. And I asked Srila Prabhupada, I said, Srila Prabhupada, and sometimes I'm preaching, there's nobody around at the university, at Cape Town University I went to. In fact, someone threw a cherry bomb in front of me. I didn't even flinch. It was right after a kirtan. It was very cool. I just chanted the holy name. I was just right there. Cherry bomb blew up right in front of me. I didn't even blink my eyes. Then the students looked. They saw, this is something different. But the point is, I asked Srila Prabhupada, sometimes I'm preaching and no one is around, you know. It's I said, what should I do? He said, still preach. He said, you will hear. And that's the way it is. When you're speaking even about Krishna consciousness, I'm not speaking, I'm not this body. Krishna using me, Prabhupada using me, I am also hearing something. You see, all the time Shravanam is going on. And Kirtanam and Smaranam, remembering. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So association with devotees, so vital. So blessed we are. And the idea of death and the holy name, death is taking place at every moment. Don't sweat it. Don't be afraid of death. Figure out, how am I going to serve Krishna? You see, this is the real challenge of life. How am I going to serve Krishna? Because really, that assures your future. And not only it assures your future because I want to go back to Godhead, which is okay. It assures your future because everything else is so dull in this world and monotonous. Without Krishna consciousness, there's no nectar. You want to open up that honey jar and drink a little bit. You see? So just avoid offenses and remain strong in your sadhana. And that nectar, you'll experience that. And then finally, the negative side is also shown. Now, what is material life? Material life, it leads to hell. You see, you can't, in teaching, you can't give the positive without also understanding the negative. Material life leads to hell. And people are working just like animals, really, like mutas. You know, in the Silicon Valley, where I go to the temple there in San Jose, we're starting something called the Bhaktivedanta Forum. And I think this is a nice program for this reason. You know, the Bhaktivedanta Institute, when Srila Prabhupada first was conceiving of it, it was to teach, you know, and to preach Krishna consciousness to scientists. And it became something a little murky, I think, in my own opinion, that, you know, we have so many qualified people, you know, PhDs and business people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that we feel that they should be engaged in teaching Krishna consciousness. Not that we have to get some Mayavadi scientist to come give their thesis on whatever they're talking about. So my conception of the Bhaktivedanta Forum is this, and especially in the Silicon Valley where we have so many Indian devotees, and here also in Los Angeles, you have so many Indian sympathizers, is it not? So get these people who are sympathetic to Krishna consciousness and who wish to do it to become preachers through the Bhaktivedanta Forum. This is my idea. That, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that those who have taken birth in Bharatvarsha, they have taken a very auspicious birth. They should preach Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this. So we Westerners who, you know, have some early connection with Srila Prabhupada, we should also facilitate this. Just we should try to help them also become preachers practically. Not just like if I go to the San Jose temple, really there's like 200 people and they're almost 100% Indian. Maybe there's 3 or 4 Westerners there. And I'm giving class there and I'm thinking, I want to get these people to preach Krishna consciousness. So the Bhaktivedanta Forum is just that. In the Silicon Valley, we talked about how people are working so hard. Really, the Indians who have come to the West, especially in the Silicon Valley, they are like people who are cutting down sugarcane. You know, they're like slaves. I don't know if you can understand this. When sugarcane became a big thing in coffee plantations, so the demonic Portuguese and English and Spanish, they wanted to get sugarcane and coffee. So they went to South India because people there, they know about sugarcane. They went to Africa and they brought people back to become like slaves to cut down and harvest these crops. You understand? This is how they became powerful, through the work of these people. And the people who are going to the Silicon Valley from India predominantly, they're very bright, educated software engineers. And they're like freaking slaves. Just whip them. Get more, get more, get more, get more. You see? So we have one brochure. Welcome to the first Bhaktivedanta Forum, or hopefully it won't be the last. You don't have to sell your soul to work in the Silicon Valley. That's the introduction. And so the program, actually our first program is going to be at one of my patients who's also very inclined to be a bhakta. His restaurant, he has a banquet area. It's going to be on Sunday, March 6th for 2 hours. I don't want it to be too long. So 2 hours, 10 o'clock in the morning to noon. Hopefully it'll be well attended. We'll see. So first thing is we introduce the holy name and we have kirtan. Then my Indian God brothers there, I want them to speak about how Krishna consciousness has transformed their life in a practical way. I don't think that you can sit there and have high philosophy immediately with people who are like mudhas and you know, probably flesh eaters and things like that. Pretty difficult. But if you get someone to see, you know, these people are doing it. They're becoming happy. Their life is becoming God-centric. I could do that too. That's what I want to start with. Then I'm going to have one of the devotees teach what is japa. And we're going to pass out japa beads and have them chant one round of Harinam. We'll teach them what is real meditation. Then the gentleman, Rakshit Jariwala, will invite them to the temple for Gaur Purnima and for the Sunday programs. And then we'll have another kirtan and then book distribution and some savory prasad. And that's the program. Very practical introduction to the activities, not the philosophy. Not so much philosophy. The activities of Krishna consciousness. See? Get them doing it. Chanting the holy name. Learning to see how their family can be God-centric. Learning to see how, you know, they can offer their food. Once they start offering their food, then they can see that, you know, some things are acceptable and some things are not acceptable to offer. You know, they very naturally will transform their dietary intake, is it not? In this way, I'm hoping to engage more of the Indian population in preaching. And I think that hopefully that will be satisfying to Lord Chaitanya. And also it will open up the field because we want to exploit our congregations to become preachers, not just to become listeners. We want them to actively preach Krishna consciousness. And we have to get that going. They're a little shy, I must tell you, at first to do that. And that's a good quality, that they're shy. Because much better to have someone shy than someone who comes over and starts preaching Mayavad philosophy. You understand? So anyway, this is just one program. But in any case, any questions or discussion?
Purusha Krishna Prabhu. Hari Bol. Thank you for a very, very nice class, very nice presentation. On short notice, I must add. Very much appreciated. I'm monitoring the internet. There are almost 100 viewers and everybody's appreciative. You brought up so many nice practical points, but there's one thing I wanted to just maybe get a little bit further input from you on. This point of seeing your early so-called sacrifices as not sacrifices. Many of us, I have Brigapati Prabhu here, we were in New York in the early days when, you know, you'd go out with these first attempts at vegan shoes that would fall apart after 1 week and the ice and snow was coming through the holes. You know, looking back on that, because we're still around, we laugh and it was funny. But on the other hand, there are a lot of our God brothers and God sisters and also the second generation. I remember one time I was in New York trying to collect some money for an upcoming festival program, and one Mataji, she said to me, "What? You want me to give money? I gave my life. I distributed so many books and collected so many thousands of dollars, and you're asking me to give money for this festival?" Very angry, you know, like that. So there are a lot of devotees who fall into that category. They didn't see it as happy sacrifice. They see it as that they were exploited practically for their youth, and now what did they get out of it? So I just, from somebody like yourself who's a very practical speaker, how would you address such a person?
I'll give you an example. Now, you know, I had some contact with Srila Govinda Maharaj, who's my children's Gurudev. He's passed on. He was a very dear friend of mine for 18 years. But he was telling me a story Srila Sridhar Maharaj told. He said, when you're out in the ocean, and finally a boat comes to pick you up, okay, and you row to the island of Krishna consciousness, what do you do with the boat? You burn it. You burn the boat. In other words, there's no getting off that island. You see, all for Krishna. This is the conception of when you come to the lotus feet of Krishna, there is nowhere else to go. You have no place else to go. There is nothing else to do. There is no one else to give to. All for Krishna, that's it. See? So the, you know, everything based on, you know, quality and qualification. So you, if someone says, I have given everything to Krishna, I have distributed books, you definitely don't want to disturb them. You don't want to teach them that, well, listen, Isha Vasham Idam Sarvam Yatkin. You know, everything is actually Krishna's property. You're really not giving anything to Krishna that you own. What you're giving is bhakti. You're giving love. After all, Krishna says, you know, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Jome Bhaktiya Prayachati. You give me a fruit or a flower. I mean, look, how humble is Krishna? What he wants is bhaktiya. He wants your love. And it is only bhaktiya mam abhijanati yavanya shashmi tatvata. You want to know Krishna? It is only through bhakti that you'll know Krishna. Krishna will reveal himself through bhakti. So, listen, everyone is at a different place in their spiritual development. You know, I can't say that with assurance that I am going back to Godhead in this lifetime. Who knows? I may have another million lifetimes. You know, but that's just like that person with the tree and the leaves. And someone said, oh, you'll have to wait as many leaves on the tree, that many lifetimes you'll have to live before you can go back to Godhead or before you can see Krishna again or whatever. And he said, oh, is that all? You see, this kind of hopefulness is very important. But what you say is true. You know, the sense of false ego, that I am the enjoyer, that I am the proprietor, you see, it is very deeply rooted. These bodies, these senses, they are a sign, a symptom of our sin. That is what they are. If you didn't have sin, you would be in the spiritual world playing with Krishna. But we all have some sin, and we all have some false ego. False ego is the most subtle of the material energies, ahankar. Ahankar means I am the doer. But it means so much more. It is the basis for all conditioned life and forgetfulness of Krishna. So this is a very, very deeply rooted disease that we have in this world. And so, you know, depending on your motherliness, like Narayani, where is she? She's not here. But I put the garland on Srila Prabhupada this morning, Grace of the Devotees, and she's seeing the garland, and she's like mother. She's coming and adjusting it. It's not just right for Srila Prabhupada. If you're motherly like that, you have to do it. You see? It's devotional service. You're not improving upon anything. It's improving on her love. You see? And as you are also associating with different varieties of people, you will see some of them, they will think, oh, I have given this, I have given that. Therefore, I am basically done giving. You see, but this is, you know, just a stage of immaturity. It's a stage of immaturity. But always you have to give encouragement. Encouragement. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that, you know, that you shouldn't disturb the minds of the ignorant. And ignorant can also mean us devotees, huh? Or practicing devotees. But rather encourage them to work in the spirit of devotion. So this is, you know, Krishna's recommendation. It is Krishna's recommendation. We talked about two of the three things. Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnuna. And what is the last? Amanina manadena. Giving honor to others and not expecting honor for oneself. So this is, you know, a very, very high position. You know, and not only that, but I've heard it said that this is a good business practice as well. If you give honor to others, then they can't live without you. You see? I tell my children this when they're going through life. I said, listen, if you give honor to others, if you say something nice about a person, people hate their lives. They're so miserable in this life. If you tell them something nice about them, they can't live without you because you're the only person who said anything nice about them in the last 10 years. They can't live without you. Yes, what you want. So if they say, oh, I distributed books, I can't get money, say, oh, you are so wonderful, all that you have done. It is a wonderful thing. Srila Prabhupada is so happy with your book distribution. Then they're thinking, oh, someone realizes I did something in Krishna consciousness. You know, they're not thinking that it was mixed with, you know, desire for liberation or anything. But someone, a devotee, is recognizing this. You understand what I'm saying? That's a manina manadena. Now, if you do that, you'll never be the loser. Because that person will love you. Ah, they recognize me. I cannot live without them. You see? That's a very nice way to think about it. Because, listen, you already are full within yourself. You're not lacking anything. You're a devotee. And so you can afford to give honor to others like this. And then they also will be happy and they'll be much more inclined to you know, continue to serve. Is that okay answer? I don't know.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very wonderful class. You covered so many different things. A question came to my mind about something you mentioned. You was describing that pastime where Srila Prabhupada was expressing, you know, how he was a very old man and he had no opportunity to become Krishna conscious. You were all young. You have so much opportunity. I don't have any opportunity like that. So, at least when I hear that, I don't take that as a factual, like, one-to-one statement of reality. I mean, I appreciate that statement as that's just an expression of Prabhupada's humility, not an expression of a factual situation, that, you know, i.e. that Prabhupada was not Krishna conscious. Obviously, Prabhupada was the most Krishna conscious. So it wasn't, I don't, you know, appreciate that as, oh, Prabhupada's saying he wasn't Krishna conscious, that means I should accept that he's not really Krishna conscious. No, it's an expression of his humility.
Yeah, I preface that by saying it is his feeling of separation.
Right. So
it is Lala's Mayi.
Okay, so
those are magic moments, actually.
So here's my question. Is it possible, are statements in the scripture meant to be taken in that same light? I'll give you an example. Like, for instance, in yesterday and the day before, I was reading Servant of the Servant by Tomal Krishnamaraj, and he quoted from the Navadvipa Mahatmya, and there was a statement about how in this age, even if somebody chants the holy name of Krishna, even for many births, because of all the offenses that people commit, you know, in Kali Yuga, they're not going to get love of God. But if they just chant the holy name of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, then offenses will not be an impediment. They won't be considered. Matter of fact, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda will come looking for that person to give him love of God. So when I read that, I felt, oh, very nice. That's very wonderful to hear that. And I remembered, oh, this statement's similar to that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then something came up in me, and I said, something like some resentment almost welled up in me. I thought to myself, wait a second, that's not true, because I remembered back, way back in 1973 when I first became a devotee, Bali Mardan, who was our temple president, he told me, Jeff, he said, you know, he heard me chanting, he said, Jeff, chant. I was chanting the Panchatattva mantra, and he said, Jeff, keep on chanting the Panchatattva mantra because there's no offenses accepted, and you'll very easily get love of God. And then, you know, that, in conjunction with these statements, so I've taken that literally. I've taken that as a literal thing. But to be honest with you, I don't feel like I have love of God. So is it possible, are these statements meant to be taken like Prabhupada's statement, that it was just an, you know, like Prabhupada was expressing his humility there, as you said, meant to be understood in a different way? Maybe, like when it says in the scripture that just by crying out the names of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, it counteracts all the offenses, and one, you know, very quickly receives love of God. Are we meant to take that statement as, you know, literally, or as an expression of the great enthusiasm and love and appreciation that these devotees have for Lord Chaitanya? In other words, what's the correct way to understand this? You understand my question?
I do.
Okay.
I don't know the answer, though. I mean, you know, I'll tell you this much, that, you know, there was one time when devotees would chant a lot of Panchatattva mantra before the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. they would chant a lot, I mean like 20 times. And Srila Prabhupada said, what is that? He said, you chant 3 times, then chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That was his advice. You know, so I think that we appeal to Lord Chaitanya to be able to chant Sri Krishna's name. Because remember, Lord Chaitanya's Leela, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no question. But he is coming as mood of Radharani. He is coming as the Supreme Bhakta. He's coming as the Supreme Devotee. So what Lord Chaitanya wants from us, because if someone said that he is God, he would cover his ears, you see. What he wants is for us to develop love for Krishna. Because he is Radha, mood, in the form of Krishna. He is has that mood. Radharani is the vortex from which all devotion emanates. You see? So, Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Rupa Goswami said that he is the most generous of all the incarnations because he is giving Krishna Prema. He is not saying that he is giving Gaur Prema. You see? That would not be acceptable to him. Neither would it be acceptable to Radha. Because Radha, she's only thinking of Krishna. So in this way, understand the heart as best we can of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he is giving Krishna prema because he has come in the form of the Supreme Devotee in order to give it. He is the purport to Sarvadharman Parityaja. He is the purport to what do you do when you surrender to Krishna? You engage in devotional service. How you engage in devotional service in this Kali Yuga? Nama Sankirtan. You see, that's all there is. So, as best I can link that, like that. Because you can take something out of context. But, you know, the heart of the matter is this, is that we sometimes, we need Guru to understand Shastra. And we need Prabhupada and line of Prabhupada to understand really what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even saying. And so if Prabhupada says, you know, this is, you chant 3 times, then you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's good. That's good advice. Because really the heart of the matter is the holy name. And yes, Gaura Hari is very wonderful and ecstatic, and when we chant, we have a very blissful time. But the heart of the matter is, he is giving us the holy name. He's giving us Krishna. Krishna's form, Krishna's name, Krishna's qualities, his activities, his lila, all identical, transcendental. That's best I can say.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Anyone else? So I want to again thank Naikatma and the pure devotees here before me for giving me opportunity to do some service because it's very wonderful for me. Srila Prabhupada's activities here in this temple are very wonderful. All of the this used to be, you know, the world headquarters of the ISKCON until they had the Mayapur temple. This was it. And Srila Prabhupada had tremendous love for this temple. I'll tell you one little pastime. His last time here in 1976, we were upstairs in his room. There were several of us. I was sannyasi at that time. And Srila Prabhupada opened up his armoire where he had his saffron cloth. And he passed out all of his cloth to the sannyasis. And we didn't realize it at the time, but in retrospect, you could realize it, that he knew that this was his last visit here when he did that. This was his last visit here. So Srila Prabhupada, his Western preaching work, apart from the translation he did in India, it started at age 70. At age 70. You know, I mean, can you imagine age 70 beginning preaching work? not like that other Mataji saying, I have already distributed. I am done. I am done serving. It began at 70 years old. You know, how powerful that is. An example, you see. So anyway, young or old, we are so fortunate to be connected in Krishna consciousness. Really, I mean, you know, if you think that you're going to succeed in material life, you know, as Srila Prabhupada used to say, you know, you can just look around and see. You know, people who are materially successful, they're not happy. People who have wealth, they don't have enough wealth. You know, there's no end to it. So rather than go seeking things that have fallen to the ground, hook up with the tree. Go to the reservoir. You know, you want Bhagavan. He is the most beautiful. He is the most wealthy. He is the most powerful. He is the most renounced. He is the strongest. What am I missing? Knowledge. Everything is there in Krishna. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, having realized me, one will know there is nothing more to be realized. There is nothing more to be known. This is Krishna consciousness. When you understand or you appreciate or God reveals himself, whatever the situation is, you know there's nothing more in existence. There's nothing more to get. You've got it now. Now what you do? You develop your love for Krishna, your loving service. Help each other. You know, this is a very special... this Los Angeles program is very special. The morning program here, how many years it's going on like this? It hasn't changed. If you were here in the 1980s or 1970s, hasn't changed. This is such a strong program. A program of sadhana. This is sadhana as you give from your heart, you see. And I hope that you don't take it for granted because it's very, very special. I could easily see myself coming here and living in my RV outside or getting an apartment. Dara Brahma said, yes. This is a wonderful, wonderful place to be. It's a wonderful place to cultivate Krishna consciousness. It is a wonderful place to associate with devotees. And you don't even realize that there's smog here when you're a devotee. It's too wonderful a place. Anyway, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. What we do now? Okay, Hare Krishna. Breakfast in Prasadam. Is that across the street? Acha.